never said I oppose fracking. Show the tape. Put it on your website. Put it on. Put it on the website.
Live from Clark Studios in Rochester, New York, broadcasting around the world. You're listening to You Made It Political, where the voice of the keyboard warrior is finally heard and the arguments presented are put to the political test. And now, here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good morning, America. Welcome back from what I hope was a wonderful weekend from all of you around the country. Schools are in full effect. Summer's over. And personally, I'm just glad things are cooling down a little bit. I guess the older you get, the more sick of the heat you get. It's a good sign that I'm aging as well. But I love the fall, man. It's my favorite season of the year. I love when the weather cools. I love when the leaves change. It's just a great feeling overall. What's not a good feeling, however, is a few of the stats. As I was kind of combing through some recent polls this weekend, I'm starting to get really concerned here. I mean, really concerned for America. And the reason I'm getting concerned is because I'm starting to lose faith in the American people. I really am. Listen, Democratic states, they're a lost cause. Forget it. Forget New York. Forget California. I mean, look what just happened in the recent recall election with Governor Newsom. Newsom won that recall by a freaking landslide. It just goes to show that Californians, they welcome and embrace tyranny. They welcome it. They embrace it. I mean, it wasn't even freaking close. Not even close. But listen, I'm not surprised. Forget California. They can fall off into the ocean for all I care and join Hawaii or maybe even go as far as running into China. For all that matters, because really, the way that Newsom's running California is not too far from how the Communist Party over in China is running California, and New York isn't far behind. We're not far behind, and I've totally lost faith in the Democrat states. Okay, I don't even know how to turn that nonsense around. I don't think politicians can even turn these states around. I think we're just screwed with government overreach and tyranny, at least for the rest of my life. Okay. Maybe down the road, something will happen where you'll start to see Democratic states maybe slowly turn a little bit towards the red side again. I don't know. But for now, they're gone. So forget California, forget New York, lost cause. But that's not what concerns me. What concerns me more than anything is the fact that states like Florida aren't even secure. And the reason I know these states aren't secure is because I've gone online and I've looked through a few recent Quinnipiac polls. And these polls are what makes me very nervous. The fact that nearly 6 in 10 Floridians, 6 in 10, don't want DeSantis to run for president in 2024, not because they want to lose DeSantis. It's because they don't approve of how he's running Florida. And that's a very big concern for me. It's a very big concern that Florida voters right now are giving Governor DeSantis mixed grades. Florida's supposed to be the freest state in America right now, next to Texas, next to South Dakota. You know, Governor DeSantis, he comes on nearly every day and fights for freedom for all Floridians. Okay, he fights for them. He fights against mask mandates. He fights against vaccine mandates because he just wants people to be able to have the right to choose. He's not asking for much. He's just asking that we get to choose. He's not forcing anyone to take off the mask. He's not trying to abolish vaccines. He's just saying, listen, I just want my residents to be able to choose. I don't want these vaccines to be able to be forced on anybody. And you'd think Floridians living in Florida would be applauding him. You'd think like 9 out of 10 would embrace this freedom that he's trying to remind Floridians that they have. But no, they don't. That's the scary thing. When you start to realize that Florida is hanging on by a thread as far as its conservative values, that DeSantis is actually hanging on by a thread, that is very worrying for me. Because right now, we can leave New York. We can leave California. We can leave any state and migrate or relocate to a freer state. But when you see states like Florida start to get overrun with liberalism, it starts to make me wonder, well, what happens when Florida gets taken out of the game? What happens when Florida is no longer free? Where do we go then? Well, you can't move countries because America is the freest country. So what happens when states like Texas and Florida get taken out of the game? Where do we go next? So I'm going to read a few stats that are going to really start to worry you guys. And I hate to be like this on a Monday morning. Mondays suck as it is. Nobody wants to go back to work. I actually love what I do, so I get excited about Monday. But I know most of us, Mondays are just kind of abysmal to begin with. So I hate to come out swinging with some really shitty news. But it has to be said, because if we're not aware of the fact that things are not as good as we think they are in these red states, by the time we start fighting, it's going to be too late. They're going to be overrun. And we already know that Biden is trying to paint DeSantis and Abbott and Noem as monsters. The media is doing a really good job making these states look like reckless and irresponsible governors. And they're not. They're not. They're just fighting for our freedoms. So there's polls that have come out recently that have said that more than half of voters, slightly 51%, actually disapprove of Governor DeSantis' handling of the response of the coronavirus, while 46% approve. This is all according to Quinnipiac poll, a university poll of registered voters in Florida. However, it is an improvement. Okay, it's an improvement from July. July, it was a little bit worse. In July of 2020, 57% of voters disapproved of how DeSantis was handling Florida. Despite all of his cries for freedom, despite him looking out for Floridians, despite him trying to give everybody freedom of choice, back in July 2020, 57% of voters actually disapproved, and only 38% approved of how DeSantis was handling the pandemic. Now, what is encouraging is that despite this disapproval a year ago, DeSantis didn't care. He's like, I don't care. I don't give a shit about the polls. I'm here to fight for freedom. And I have to admire DeSantis. I have to admire the fact that, unlike most politicians who will bend over to the polls and basically switch policies based on whether they think they're going to win or lose a re-election, DeSantis is stuck to his guns. He said, listen, I don't care about the polls. I'm fighting for what I believe in as a patriot. I'm going to keep fighting for my residents every day because this is what I believe in. So if he looked at those polls and thought, oh, shoot, I'm actually at risk of losing re-election, maybe I should flip-flop here, like we've seen Biden done a million times, like we've seen freaking Fauci do every other day. And like most politicians do in America, they flip-flop according to the direction that they think or the likelihood of them winning their re-election. But not DeSantis. He stuck to his guns. So it's really nice to see that despite last year, 38% approving, only 38% approving and 57% of voters disapproving, it's nice to see that he's stuck to his message, and he's continued his fight for medical or for freedom, for medical freedom. In today's poll, Republicans, 85% of Republicans approve to 9%. So 85% of Republicans approve, 9% disapprove of the way DeSantis is handling the response to the coronavirus. Obviously, Democrats, only 93% or only 6% approve. So 93% of Democrats disapprove of how DeSantis is handling the coronavirus pandemic. And now this is what worries me. 55% of independents disapprove. And this is why I say Florida is hanging on a thread. So let me repeat these stats for you to really kind of provide clarity here. Republicans, 85% of Republicans approve of DeSantis. 93% of Democrats disapprove. 55% of independents disapprove. So when it comes time to reelect DeSantis, that independent vote, just like we saw with Trump, is going to really be the deciding factor. I mean, the independent vote is what we really need right now. The independent vote has never been more relied upon in these elections as it is right now. And I think what's happening is the reason that we're having such a huge swing to the independent right now, to the independent kind of political party, is because you've got the Democrats who are not happy with how far left the Democrats are going. So they're all starting to move to independent. Now, they're not going to go to the Republican side. Similarly, you have the far, or you have the moderate Republicans who don't like what the conservatives are doing to the Republican Party. And they're all starting to leave to the independent side. So you've got moderate Democrats go independent. You've got moderate Republicans saying, I've had enough of the far right, I'm going independent. So the independent party is really starting to become, and maybe over time we'll even see the independent party win a presidential campaign, or maybe we'll start to see more independents win legislative positions, or congressmen and women, or senators, or even a governor. Maybe we'll actually start to see in my lifetime an independent win the White House. But that's what's happening. We have all of these moderates on both sides of the aisle starting to go independent. So when I see things like 55% of independents disapproving Governor DeSantis's, as the governor, disapproving across all categories, that makes me nervous. Because the Democrats combined with the independents is what's going to get DeSantis out. And it's one more step closer to losing our one and only freest state in the country. When it comes to the way DeSantis is handling public schools, voters give DeSantis a negative 45 to 51% approval rating. So even in schools, we're not safe. As far as overall job performance, voters are divided, with 47% approving and 45% disapproving. In July 2020, so a year ago, they actually gave him a negative 41%. So he's actually come up from 41% to 47% disapproval. So it's very scary. It's very, very sad to see what's going on the Floridian front with DeSantis. Voters are split on whether Ron DeSantis should be reelected. So where do they stand as far as him being reelected? Well, 48% says he does deserve to be reelected. 45% he says he does not. 6% don't have an opinion. So broken down according to party affiliation here, 87% of Republicans say that he should be reelected. 90% of Democrats say he does not deserve to be reelected. And again, the scary part, 49% of independents says that he deserves to be reelected, while 43% says he does not. So this is what kind of freaks me out here. As far as schools are concerned, and this is what really kind of, makes me concerned for Florida. Here he is, DeSantis, down in Florida right now, working his ass off tirelessly to give parents the choice to have their kids wear a mask or not. He just wants parents to have the choice. So you'd think Floridians would be applauding DeSantis and his fight for freedom of choice as far as masks are concerned in school. But they're not. The scary thing is that 6 in 10 Floridians actually support requiring masks in school. Polls find that 61% say recent rise in COVID cases in Florida was preventable. Now, what freaking blows my mind here is that despite all of the COVID data and the fact that we know masks basically have zero effect on fighting the pandemic, 61% of the brainwashed sheep actually support requiring masks in school. So I keep crying about data. Let me pull up some data for you guys, okay? You know, and this is what the Democrats don't like looking at. They don't like looking at the data, okay? I just told you that 6 in 10 Floridians actually support requiring masks in school and that they disapprove of how DeSantis has handled the pandemic. Why? According to what? Because CNN told them? Because MSNBC scared the crap out of them last month again because Biden goes on every single day and slams them and calls them reckless and irresponsible? Why? It's not the data, because let me educate you all on a little bit of data. As far as the data is concerned, New York, total deaths, okay? Let's focus on the last 7 days. Forget the total deaths, which, by the way, New York has way more than Florida, COVID deaths. Let's just focus on the last 7 days. In the last 7 days in New York State, there have been 153 COVID deaths plus New York City, 77. Okay, so that's roughly what, 225-ish, 225 deaths, New York State. Florida, 224 in the last 7 days. In the last 7 days, Florida has roughly had the same amount of COVID deaths as New York State. Okay. Now, in New York State, I mean, we're so far gone, so far left that whatever. I don't even care about New York State anymore. They're a lost cause. Like I said in the beginning of the show, they welcome mask mandates. They welcome vaccine mandates. We're locked down. We've had masks since the beginning of time. And DeSantis, who is down in Florida fighting for freedom of choice, you'd think because of how everybody is so disappointed, or all these people who actually don't agree with what he's doing, you'd think, why? Is it because cases are surging down there? Because DeSantis isn't forcing masks? You know, you'd think, does the data suggest that people should be upset? No, not at all. The data is exactly the same as New York State. So I constantly ask myself, why are people, why isn't it like 100% success rate for or approval rate of DeSantis right now? Why isn't everybody so happy with DeSantis? You'd think that'd be the case, right? According to the data. Again, New York and Florida over the last 7 days have the same exact total number of COVID deaths. It's about 230 to 224 or something. Okay, the margin is minuscule. So you'd think they'd be applauding DeSantis, or you'd think the Democrats would be like, you know what? I'll shut up now. The data suggests that he's doing a great job, because compared to New York, nothing's different. But they're not. They keep drinking the damn Kool-Aid that the mainstream media dish them. They fail to look at the data. So 6 in 10 Floridians support requiring masks in school. They don't want to look at the data. They want to continue to drink the Kool-Aid. That's what we're seeing. A majority of people in Florida say 60% that they support requiring students, teachers, and staff to wear masks in school. How is that broken down according to Republicans, Independents, and Democrats? Well, there's a sharp political divide on this question, as Democrats support school mandates 98-1%. Obviously, 1% is undecided, or another 1% is undecided. 98% of Democrats, despite all of the evidence, despite all of the data that's available to them online. I mean, the stats I just read you, I looked up on the CDC's website, the COVID tracker. despite all the data available to these people. 98% of Democrats support masks. Independents support them 63% to 32%, and Republicans oppose them 72%. So we know Republicans like to look at logic. We know Republicans say, hold on a second, before I'm going to decide, I'm going to put on my critical thinking hat, which Nicki Minaj did last week, and look, she's getting lambasted over it. She's getting absolutely destroyed on the internet. Twitter banned her account. Because all she said was, I'm just going to think about it for a minute. I'm going to pray on it, were her exact words. And she's getting destroyed on social media right now. But Republicans like to critically think. We like to actually use our brain rather than emotion. We tend not to be as brainwashed as hard. There are a few who do, and those are what we call rhinos. Those are what we call people who are probably starting to join the independent camp. So despite all the evidence, all the logic, all the data, 98% of Democrats in Florida still want kids to wear masks. 63% of independents want the kids to wear masks. Only 24% of Republicans want the kids to wear masks. Nearly 7 in 10 say they think local officials should be able to require masks in indoor public spaces if they believe it's necessary. Why is it necessary? We've looked at the data. It's not necessary. So let me help you guys out right now, Democrats nationwide. You're telling us you believe that they should wear masks if it's necessary. I don't need to be Fauci to be able to tell you this. Masks aren't necessary. They never were. They weren't in the beginning. They weren't in the middle, and they're not now. So why are we still on the freaking mask debate after we've seen case after case after case that they don't do anything, after we can pack football stadiums with 50, 60,000 college football, everyone's maskless across the country, but we're still putting them on our kids' faces in Democratic states. DeSantis is hanging on by a thread. He's hanging on by a thread. Republican states are hanging on by a thread when it comes to their freedom. So we are not in the clear here. We are not even close. And so, and for all of you who are moving to Florida from these Democrat states, you need to fight. You really need to fight while you're down there. Because soon, if you don't, if DeSantis does not get reelected, you move down there for nothing. And even worse, where do you go from there? Florida adults were asked whether they support or oppose COVID-19 vaccine requirements. For healthcare workers, 62% support requirements. For teachers, 60% support requirements. For employees of businesses, 50% support requirements. Again, 6 in 10 Floridians support masks in school. So more people in Florida support mask mandates and vaccine mandates than those who don't. The only reason that the kids aren't masked up in school and everyone under the sun isn't jabbed is because Governor DeSantis is standing in the way. But the polls are telling me they don't want him to stand in the way. The polls are telling me they actually want DeSantis out of the way. So although you have a Republican governor down there, you do not have a Republican mindset for the most part. The majority of Floridians do not have a conservative freedom-thinking mindset. And that scares the crap out of me. It really does. That to me says the Democrats are going to try very hard to throw the pandemic in everybody's face, scare them leading right up to the 2022 primaries and leading up to the 2024 election and say, see what happened? See what happens when Republicans get in the way and they start the fear-mongering again. We know the logic and the data says that Republican governors are doing a fantastic job. It's been proven. DeSantis is doing a phenomenal job being the gatekeeper between medical tyranny and freedom. He's doing a phenomenal job. Data suggests it. But the media is winning. Why are they winning? Why are Americans not standing up to the BS? Why aren't more Americans in every state standing up to tyranny, to government overreach? I'll tell you why. It's because we are cowards. We're cowards. We've never experienced socialism or communism, and our country is only a few hundred years old. Anyone in my lifetime has no idea what it's like to fight for freedom. We'd rather be complacent. We'd rather sit on our ass and just assume everything's going to work itself out. Well, it's not gonna. Because if you think back to the wars that this country has been through in the past, every single war resulted in some sort of freedom. But it didn't get to that point without war. So, you know, our Civil War, World War One, World War Two. I mean, these wars, the Vietnam War, the Cold War, we're about to have our own version of a cold Civil War soon. If we don't pull our heads out of our asses, start looking at the data, tell the mainstream media to shut the F up, block out Biden and his BS tyranny. If we don't start doing that right now as one America, we are going to see our next version of a civil war. What that looks like, I don't know. Maybe we're in it right now. But America's never been more divided. Dan Bongino, the other day, I was listening to his podcast yesterday. And he was saying it's coming. And I've been saying that for a freaking year now. It's definitely coming. I have been screaming and warning Americans since the very first day of lockdown. I said, remember, last in 2020, when they said, listen, just 2 weeks to curb the pandemic, just 2 weeks, let's lock down for 2 weeks, let's be done with this. I said on day one, if we even lock down for 2 weeks, it's 2 weeks too long. Then we went out a month, 2 months, 3 months. Then Trump said no more lockdowns. Then Biden took office and he said lockdowns are coming. Then we went all, everything just went to shit again. So I've been screaming about this for a year. If we don't end this now, we're going to get to a point of no return. And we are here at the point of no return. Well, Australia has actually shown us, okay? Australia has actually shown us that you need to fight. Because a couple years ago, Australia had their guns taken. America, are we going to wait till we get to the point of Australia to then fight back? With maybe without weapons? Let's take a look at what's going on in Australia right now. But they are sick of it. They are done with it. Over in Australia, anti-lockdowns are in full effect. They are fighting against the Australian government. I mean, they are on the verge. They are on the verge right now of their own civil war. It's bad. Here's over the weekend, anti-lockdown protests in Melbourne, Australia.
Fuck you, cop dog!
This is a country who's had enough. I mean, they are pissed. Why isn't America fighting as hard as this? Why aren't we breaching police lines? Why aren't we out there saying we are done with this BS? Because Americans are cowards. We're complacent. We're lazy. We talk a good game, but we're not out here doing this. I mean, they just stormed that police line. They can care less. And those cops are sitting there spraying their pepper spray and using their little billy clubs on the Aussies. They don't care. I mean, it's been a police state. Martial law is in full effect in Australia. But they're done. I mean, they don't care. So why isn't America to that point? Well, because we haven't been locked down hard enough. We haven't felt the pain. And that's very sad here, because we are going to get to the point where it's too late before we start fighting. And I just pray that we have our guns when we actually have had enough. Because unlike Australia, we still do have our Second Amendment rights. We have the right to bear arms, to use to overtake a tyrannical government. For now. But that might not be the case for long if we don't start coming together, both Republicans and Democrats. Because I'm telling you, Democrats, you're going to be just as pissed off when you too don't have your freedom anymore. You might support what's going on today, but when you don't like something tomorrow, you don't have that choice. Don't come crying to me. Don't come crying to the conservatives who warned you over and over and over again that you need to put your foot down now against medical tyranny, against government overreach, because this is just one example of how far our government is willing to push against the American people. This is a test case for the American government right now, at least for the Democrats. And I'm not seeing much out of the Republicans fight back. So who knows what's going on as far as the Republican Party is concerned. Some of them are fighting, not all of them, though. But this is a test case right now. This is a trial to see how far the American people are willing to bend over. And so far, our government is winning. They're thinking, let's see, you know, if we can push them this far today, you better believe we can move this country in whatever direction we want. And that is very, very dangerous for the American people. We need to have choice. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with me today, I think the one thing that we can all agree on as Americans is that we need to be able to have choice. So what scares the shit out of me is that 98% of Democrats in Florida, probably even nationwide, applaud mandates. And that is very, very worrying. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
You Made It Political would not have been possible without this book right here, Expert Secrets, by my man, Russell Brunson. Russell Brunson wrote this book to help people like you and I become leaders in our space, to gain an audience and a public following that respects, loves, and watches our shows on a daily basis. Expert Secrets will help you find your voice and give you the confidence to become a leader. It'll show you how to build a mass movement of people whose lives you can affect. And most importantly, it'll teach you how to become an expert authority in your field where people actually pay you for your advice. The best part about Expert Secrets is it's absolutely free. You just pay for shipping, whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, a podcaster, or a live YouTube streamer. You want to grab a copy of this book. It'll teach you everything from building your audience to driving traffic to making this a full-time job so you can get paid for your passion.
Welcome back to You Made It Political, where the voice of the keyboard warrior is finally heard, and the arguments presented are put to the political test. And now, here's your host, Matt Clark.
Welcome back, guys. We've had a very interesting discussion this first half of the show. If you're just joining us now, the most concerning thing to me that I'm seeing today is that we're just not a free country anymore. Republican states are hanging on by a thread. We've seen what's going on in Florida. We looked at the polls. We've seen the numbers. It's very, very scary. And we just need to stand up. We need to start fighting here in America so we don't become the next Australia, so we don't become the next UK or the next Canada, and even maybe the next China. But now the fight needs to start. So for those of you who have moved down to Florida, you guys, you gotta fight for us, because if we lose Florida, where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to move to? I mean, that's it for us. That's game over if we lose Florida and other Republican states like Texas and Florida and South Dakota. All right, so listen, we know Biden's border crisis has been a complete disaster from day one. We've seen exactly what's gone on, and we know that it's just been disastrous. It's been totally disastrous, and we know that we just know that it's been a total shit show. But Abbott's done. Abbott's done down in Texas. Texas law enforcement has now stormed the border with scores of vehicles, and they've secured it after Biden failed miserably. I mean, we know Biden's failed in every aspect of his presidency. It's good to see now that Abbott said, you know what? I'm done listening to Joe Biden. I'm done. I mean, every decision this freaking idiot has made has just been catastrophic for this country. I mean, every single decision. So it's good to see that Abbott's now said, you know what, guys, we're done. We're calling the National Guard, and they've actually stormed the border with just scores of vehicles to secure it after Biden failed. So it's good to see that they're actually taking control. I mean, Abbott doesn't care what Biden has said. He does not. He's suing Biden for everything that he's done. He is now taking matters into his own hand, and he's now securing the border the best that he sees fit. Because, listen, at the end of the day, Biden and the Democrats, they don't really care what's going on down in Texas. You know they're letting all of these people in to just support their 2024 campaign. Friday, we spoke about the fact that they're also letting in 37,000 Afghan refugees, and they're putting these refugees strategically in different states, hoping that ultimately they'll help flip these red states blue, or they'll keep blue states blue. And I'll give you an example of this. They're putting 5,400 of the 37,000 Afghan refugees. They're putting 5,400 in California. I mean, that right there is securing California's far left radical agenda for pretty much our lifetime. But what's worrying is they put 4,500 in Texas. Why so many in Texas? I mean, Texas, is this Biden scolding Texas? They're putting 1,200 refugees in Florida. Is this Biden scolding Florida because they don't approve of how Abbott and DeSantis have run their states? Why so many? Why 4,500 down in Texas? I mean, Jesus Christ, these guys already have a raging border crisis. Are they trying to destroy Texas for good? A president who promised to unite all Americans. He sure is not doing a good job uniting Americans. So law enforcement officials with the state of Texas appear to have taken control of the situation in Del Rio, Texas, thank God, after the Biden administration reportedly failed, this is according to the Daily Wire, to stop tens of thousands of migrants from illegally entering the United States. The Texas Department of Public Safety is in full force along the border around the Del Rio area, Governor Greg Abbott said in a tweet that featured a picture showing scores of law enforcement vehicles that had descended in the area. So Abbott says the Department of Public Safety is in full force along the border around the Del Rio area. They have built a barricade with their squad cars and state troopers. The National Guard is working with them to secure the border. So here's a picture of, I mean, look at, you've got lines of squad cars. I mean, Abbott's like, I don't know what else to do here. Biden's not helping. We have 10,500 people under a freaking bridge of Haitians that have stormed the border. And this is going to be disastrous for the American people. Guys, you might not feel the effect today, but the drug cartels are basically leading the charge here. I mean, Trump did a phenomenal job securing our border with his Remain in Mexico policy. So he did a phenomenal job. And Biden has now just wiped out every America First agenda, including our immigration, our very strict immigration policies that we had in place. Remain in Mexico was a great thing for America. It stopped a lot of the cartels. It stopped a lot of the child and sex trafficking. And since Biden took control, we're now seeing a raging border crisis. And it's so bad that Abbott has to now defy Biden's laws. I mean, he doesn't care anymore. He's saying, I don't care because my state is getting overrun. Biden, you don't see how much drugs are coming to our country right now. You don't see what the drug cartel's doing. You don't see how disastrous it is for us here in Texas. And it's just a really scary situation. So Texas law enforcement is storming the border with scores of vehicles, and they are securing the border after Biden miserably failed. Let's see what the American people have to say to this. Dan said, I missed the good old days when we had a president that cared for secured borders. Bring back a president with a backbone. It's exactly what we need. Alazianda has weighed in, saying European countries suffered from overloads of refugees and asylum seekers. Yes, they did. I was there in the UK during Brexit. Putting extreme hardships on government agencies and native people. Let's learn from their mistakes before it happens here. Logic and common sense approach needed. God help us with sensible solutions. Solutions. Listen, she's exactly right. I've spoke about this on my show many times. I said, people, listen, if you want to know the direction America's headed right now, all you have to do is look at Europe and the UK. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. You don't need a crystal ball. If you want to see what's going to happen to America in the next couple of years, just look at what happened in the UK, which is why the UK wanted to leave the European Union. I was there during Brexit. I spoke to people on the ground, and I really got a good sense of the frustration there. The UK the British are great people. They're the most welcoming, kindest people I've probably ever met. They welcomed immigrants for years and years and years, decades being part of the European Union. But as they welcomed these immigrants from Eastern Europe, from other European countries, they started to realize that these immigrants were taking advantage of them. They were rinsing their health care, because they have a socialist health care structure. The NHS provides free health care. Now, that probably would have worked out better if these immigrants weren't stealing from the NHS and literally sending that health care money back home to their family in other countries. So these immigrants were coming in, they were rinsing the system, and they were taking money back home. And we're going to see that again. We're going to see the exact same thing all over again in a few years. It might not be happening today, but we're going to see the same thing happen as these immigrants come through and storm our borders, bring in record-breaking numbers of drugs. I mean, they're already hitting our streets. You're going to start to see ODs on the rise. You're going to start to see violence, drug-related, gang-related violence are going to be on the rise. And Biden and the Democrats are okay with it. And it's all for political gain. All for political gain. And that is very disturbing to me. That Democrats who voted for Biden are actually okay with this. They're okay with drugs infiltrating America. If you're a Biden voter, this is what you voted for, or this is what you're telling me. You're telling me that you're okay with drug trafficking. You're okay with open borders and the crime that's going to come with it. And you're okay with putting America last, because this is what's happening. So Governor Abbott down in Texas is fighting to keep the border secure, and he's defying everything that Biden has put in place, or he's just picking up the slack. He's saying, listen, we can't do this anymore. I'm going to take control. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to fight to keep Texas safe and ultimately Americans safe. So we need to cheer on Abbott for doing this. We need to applaud everybody who's trying to secure our borders right now, because for those of you who are far away from the border and think that it has no relevance to you, it does, and it will catch up to your state eventually. I think New York just took on 1,100 Afghan refugees. Now, I'm all for immigration. I always have been. but the legal way. I'm for immigration as long as it keeps Americans safe, as long as it keeps our borders safe, as long as it keeps America first. I'm all for immigration. It shouldn't be our way or the highway. We should embrace some of their ideologies, some of their policies. They might have some very good things to offer America, but we cannot put this country or the Constitution last, ever. We need to maintain an America first policy. After all, America was born on immigration. We've had immigrants come in the 1920s, my ancestors included, from Caltanissetta, from Palermo. Immigrants all over the world came in the 20s, in the late 1800s, to Ellis Island. And it's what makes this country great. So I'm all for immigration. I'm just not for the tyranny and the corruption and the fraud and the negligence that comes with it, which is what we're allowing right now. I'm all for legal immigration. If you're going to come in, you're going to pave your way. But this whole providing safe passage to 20 million illegal immigrants to citizenship, it blows my freaking mind. It just, I don't understand why we would ever in a million years allow this. And it's overrunning this country. So if you want to know the direction this is going to head, all you have to do is look at what happened in the UK. And the fact that they voted for Brexit leads me to believe that they got sick of all of the nonsense and all of the chaos and all of the corruption and crime that came with allowing open borders. So the UK left the European Union. They're going to close their borders and they're just going to get their country back on track. Doesn't mean they hate immigrants. Doesn't mean they're not going to welcome them. It just means they want to close their borders and get their country back on track. And I don't blame them. And I think America really needs to do the same. Bill Mulligan on Twitter says there's a massive surge of Texas DPS troopers heading into the International Bridge area in Del Rio with close to 15. It's up to 15,000 now. It was 10,500 on Friday. I mean, these people are storming the border by the thousands. Oh, there's a massive surge. It's up to 15,000 migrants currently under the bridge. Law enforcement sources say they want to be proactive with potential security concerns for such a big group. Let's take a look at the video. So as you can see here, there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DPS cars, vehicles. They're all moving in to secure the Texas border. Governor Abbott has had enough, and he's trying to get to the bottom of this. The Texas Department of Public Safety tweeted out photographs from both the ground from their drone that show the scale of Abbott's response to the crisis that started late last week and erupted over the last few days. TPS noted that the response came after the federal government had failed to secure the border. Here's a few other pictures from Texas DDP or DPS. Our border crisis goes beyond the RGV in South Texas communities. The smuggling of drugs, people, and weapons reaches far and wide, and it affects all of us. I will continue to work tirelessly to secure our border and protect the people of Texas. So law enforcement has secured the border. Thank God. Thank God they have secured the border. Otherwise, you know, I'm telling you, people, you're not going to like what's about to happen here in America. And all of you who aren't applauding this are selfish. You're supporting what we're about to get here with drugs, child trafficking, sex trafficking. And you should be ashamed of yourselves for not doing more to voice your concern, to voice your distaste and your dissatisfaction with everything that's going on here in America. In Democrats, you voted for this nonsense. You voted for it. And it's going to be just a matter of time before we all feel the pain. And what's even crazier right now, what's even more insane, is that I've been warning you all this for over a year. And Biden is now warning you. The very person you voted for, who is now destroying America, is now warning us against the fact that the federal debt crisis could trigger recession. I mean, you can't make this crap up. I've been telling Biden, I mean, I've been screaming about this for the last year and a half, that if we keep this shit up, if we keep spending like the way we're spending, if we keep bringing immigrants in and having to pay for them, if we keep coming out with these trillion-dollar stimulus packages, America's going to go broke and we're going to go into recession. So here's Biden, the village idiot, saying, hey, I know I'm the one responsible for all this spending. I know I'm the one responsible for bringing in all these immigrants. I know I'm the one responsible for putting America last. Oh, and by the way, if we keep doing this, we're going to go into a recession. Biden, no shit. We've been telling you this since you took office. The Republicans have been telling you this. Every spending bill that you get authorized and approved is going to send this country into even further of a recession. Inflation's through the roof. I did a show on this a few weeks ago. New car sales up 20%. Used car sales up 50%. Groceries at the supermarkets up 6%. Gas up 50%. Why? Because we're spending more than what we have. And when you do that, you trigger a recession. You don't need to be an economist to know that what's going on financially in the United States of America isn't right. So Biden's finally now coming out and saying, oh, yeah, listen, I know I'm the one trying to get Congress to approve more spending bills, including the new $3.5 trillion infrastructure spending bill that, thank God, Joe Manchin and a couple other Democrats are putting their foot down on finally. And trust me, it's not because they had a change of heart. It's because they don't want their own businesses' taxes to go through the roof, which is what's going to happen. This is how we're funding this BS $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill. We're going to start taxing not only the wealthy at higher rates, but also capital gains tax, which means no matter what money you're making as a business, whether you're doing well or not, your taxes are going to go up to fund this new $3.5 trillion spending bill. But it's too late because Biden has pissed away so much money. He's handed out so much socialist crack money that he's now warning us of a recession. If you knew this was coming, Biden, why didn't you put a stop to all these spending bills? Why do you continue to let all these illegal immigrants in? Why do you continue to hand out socialist crack money, child tax credits that the government cannot afford? So basically what he's saying is, he's like, I know I screwed America up. I know I've spent more than we have. I know I keep letting illegals in. I know everything I do is stupid and horrible and wretched. Oh, and by the way, I just caused you guys a recession. Sorry. I mean, it blows my mind. Why don't more Democrats see it? Why don't more rhinos see it? Why don't more Americans see what's going on? Why are they closing their eyes? Why are they turning their back? I'll say it again. It's how I open the show. They are cowards. They're cowards. And they would rather sacrifice their children. They would rather sacrifice freedom, liberty, for this complete government overreach. They'd rather throw their children to the wolves to protect their cushy little jobs, their $500,000 homes, and their two cars. That's what's really going on. You know there's more people who want to get out there and fight, but their husbands or wives have said, honey, don't do that. I don't want to lose our job. My employer told me not to do that. We need a roof over our head. So this is where we are as a country, complacent and cowardly. Before we're going to be a police state, martial law is on its way. I just hope we have our guns when it all comes to head. So Americans, you need to put your foot down now. Thank you guys so much for joining me today here at You Made It Political every morning live at 10 a.m.
Thanks for listening to You Made It Political with Matt Clark. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show, or leave us a review on iTunes.
And if you like our show or want to know more, check out YouMadeItPolitical.com.